This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number 395-1450. Today is our day with the court, and we're going to have a magistrate with us this morning, Magistrate Vern Helder. And good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
And he is here to talk about what does a magistrate do?
Well, a magistrate does a variety of things in the court system. Probably most of the hearings we have are traffic hearings,
mm-hmm.
any disputed traffic hearing. The magistrate does a lot of things similar to what a judge does also. Some of the things we do exactly the same as a judge. So, for example, search warrants and arrest warrants, both the judges and the magistrates handle. The magistrate can handle arraignments on certain misdemeanor charges and arraign and sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the magistrate handles, or I handle, small claims hearings for the court.
Mm-hmm.
So I preside over the small claims hearings.
Okay. We'll move that mic right in there to you so people can hear you. All right. 395-1450. If you have a question you want to ask our guest this morning, I think one of your duties, or one of your primary duties, is certainly the traffic court, right?
Yes, it is.
And as such, you must have some interesting experiences.
Yeah, we have a variety of experiences. you know, a lot of people come to court. Most of them, it seems, want to avoid having points assessed on their driving record. What we tell everybody, which is true, is the court does not assess the points. So we don't have any control over the points at the court level.
That's set up by the state, isn't it?
Set up by the state. So certain violations have points associated with them, and the court cannot change the points associated with a violation. What Michigan, or what the Secretary of State's office did recently, and by recently within the last 3 years, is they set up a course called the Basic Driver Improvement Course. If you qualify for that course and you get a citation that has points associated with it, the Secretary of State's office will send you notice. If you take the course, they'll remove the points from your record. They do that one time for everybody during their driving career.
Mm-hmm.
To qualify as a driver, you have to have two or fewer points on your record at the time you received the violation. You cannot have a commercial driver's license, and you cannot have taken the course before. So they only mm-hmm. allow you to take the course once.
Now, those points stay on your record for how long?
The points stay on your record from the Secretary of State's office for a period of 2 years.
2 years. So you get to the end of the 2 years, and you start over again.
Yes, you do. Or the points will drop off.
Or the points will just drop mm-hmm. off.
Yeah.
Okay. Is traffic court pretty busy here?
Traffic court is steady. We don't have too many hearings, but we have quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a steady part of our workday.
Now, can somebody come to traffic court and say, I don't want to plead guilty to this, and then do they get into a trial?
We have what's called an informal hearing.
Okay.
Most traffic tickets are civil infractions, and so they're not a criminal penalty. There's no criminal penalty. But if someone comes in and disputes a ticket, we set it for an informal hearing. The officer is given notice to appear, and so is the respondent, or mm-hmm. the person who received the ticket. And then they come in. We swear both parties in, and then we listen to the testimony from both sides.
Okay, I think I have a call here. Good morning, online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like you to explain how much those classes cost to get those points off your ticket. Thank you. I'll listen.
Thank you.
I didn't get the question.
How much the classes cost to get the points off your record?
That's a good question. The Secretary of State has a list of providers, and that's information that they send out when they send out the Basic Driver Improvement Course notice. The cost ranges anywhere from around $40 for an online course to a maximum of $100. So the mm-hmm. maximum any course provider can charge is $100, and that's set by the Secretary of State.
Okay. Well, I would think it would be worth it to get points off your record.
It is, because insurance companies will pick up points and increase insurance costs.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a lag time between the insurance company catches up with your point record or after a violation?
I'm not so sure on the time frame. I think because of the electronic age, they pick up points quicker than they used to pick
Probably
them
up.
So the court, for example, transmits this information electronically to the Secretary of State, and I'm not sure how the insurance companies pick up points for certain drivers, because obviously they would have to look at a specific person's mm-hmm. driving record. But my understanding is, in today's society, or computer age, they pick up the points much quicker than they used to. It would have to be a manual search before.
Yeah. Speaking of the computer age, you were talking to me before we went on about something that's relatively new, isn't it?
Yes. Ottawa County and the surrounding Ottawa County, the Sheriff's Department, and the surrounding local police departments, Holland Police, Zeeland, Spring Lake, and Grand Haven, are all going to electronic ticketing. And that is a process. It's set up in the car so that the tickets can be issued, and they're a printed ticket. All of the information is printed instead of handwritten by the officer. The officer can scan the driver's license in. It imports information into the ticket, so you've got the person's correct date of birth and driver's license number, and then for the violation, they put in a violation code, and it prints out exactly what the violation is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a quicker process. It's more accurate, and it looks like it's going to be a really good thing for the local agencies to use.
It'll save money for the county as well?
It will save some money, because instead of having tickets come in and having to enter them individually, the information is already in the system, and a lot of that information will be entered automatically into mm-hmm. the court system. And so the clerks have fewer steps to enter information on tickets, and there's fewer chance for error when you enter the ticket also.
Mm-hmm. On some tickets that you get, it's not mandatory that you appear in court if you just want to pay the fine. Is that right?
Correct. You have the option of admitting responsibility, and if you pay the ticket, basically you're admitting responsibility for the violation. So there are set fines and costs, and those are published or posted, at least at the court. And the officers, when they issue a ticket, have a slip, so the most common violations are on that slip, and they will circle the one that mm-hmm. applies, and then you can go online and find out how much it costs to pay the ticket. And Ottawa County does accept payment of tickets online, which is a convenient way to pay your ticket.
I see. Does anybody still question the ticket when they get it?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a few people that question it. You know, some people don't feel like the citation was issued for they don't feel they were speeding, for example. A lot of times with a speeding ticket, the officer, at his discretion, will reduce the speed from the actual speed. So they'll issue it, for example, for 60 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, and they may have been traveling 65 miles an hour, 67 miles an hour. And interestingly, a lot of people come in and say, well, I don't think I was traveling 67 miles an hour, and yet they were issued a ticket only for 60 in a 55. So, yeah, there's some disputes in that regard.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to argue with those things. It's no use arguing with them. You know you've done it.
Yeah. Well, speeding tickets are the hardest because the officers have to testify to certain requirements. You know, for example, they're required to testify that their radar or laser instrument, whatever instrument they were using, was verified to be working properly at the beginning of the shift and at the end of the shift. They have to testify as to, you know, the readings they received. You know, so there's a lot of things they testify to, and there's a lot of checks that they do along the way during the time they're recording the speed to verify that they've got an accurate speed. So those are a little more challenging to contest.
Some places they also use a camera when they...
Michigan does not allow cameras.
They don't allow it.
Not for traffic violations, and very few agencies have cameras in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them do. Holland Police, for example, they do have cameras in their cars. They have cameras in some of their cars. I don't know if they have them in all of their cars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can't use the camera at a intersection, for example, to issue a traffic citation. It has to be witnessed by the officer in Michigan.
Okay. We're talking this morning with Magistrate Vern Helder, and if you have a question for him, you may call us at 395-1450.
Shastma's also guarantees their work. Call Shastma now and schedule your $89 comprehensive furnace tune-up. Call 616-796-0077. Shastma.com. Bryant, whatever it takes.
Good morning. You're online with our guest. Hello. Well, I guess there wasn't anybody online here. 395-1450, if you would like to call and talk to the magistrate this morning. Our line is open, and we'd be happy to. How does the automation, does that work faster for the magistrate, or you have the record of it in front of you when they come in for the hearing?
Right now we have a file with the actual ticket that comes in front of us. At some point, we're going to be able to review the ticket online. And so it's the goal is to have it become a paperless system. And so we will have the ticket. We'll pull the ticket up on our computer screen in the courtroom, and then we'll be able to review the ticket. And then we put a disposition on the back, how we make what our ruling is. We write it on the back of the ticket. We'll be able to type that information, and then it will be sent electronically back to the counter clerks. And then when the person goes down, if we find them responsible and assess fines and costs, the clerks downstairs will know the amount of the fines and costs by looking at their computer. So ultimately, it's going to be a paperless system.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll save.
Makes it easy for everybody.
Makes it easy for everybody.
Yeah, okay. I think we have a call coming in now. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, good morning. I have a question on a ticket. If you get a ticket and you don't turn it into the...
Give me your question again, if you will, please. Hello? Did we lose him? I guess we did, maybe. Oh, dear me. Call back, and we'll get Gary in here. We'll get a little help on it, I think. Get our telephone working properly. I think it is, but I'm not sure. All right, let's go on with the magistrate here. 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to give us a call. Our line is open. And how many hours do you have to work? A regular 8-hour day in court?
I do work a regular 8-hour day.
Okay.
We have a part-time magistrate that works, covers some of the court locations. I personally cover 2 days a week in Grand Haven and 3 days in Holland.
Oh.
We have a part-time magistrate that covers some of the days in Holland and then also covers a day in Hudsonville.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, good morning. I just tuned in, so bear with me. Do you work just in Ottawa County, or is that Allegan County, or just where is this?
I work just in Ottawa County.
So you don't have anything to do with the Allegan County system, then, I take it?
Not with the Allegan County system. There are some tickets that are issued in Allegan County, but the city of Holland. But those would come to the Holland court.
Okay, what I wanted to ask you, though, maybe you would know in general anyway. What happened? I was Labor Day weekend. I was in Hastings. Okay, I just got out of the town of Hastings, and state police gentleman pulled me over, and he said, do you realize you were going X amount? I think I was 8 miles, don't quote me, over the speed limit. I said, I knew I was pretty close, but anyway, to make a long story short, he said, I'll do you a favor, write you a ticket for 5 miles over, which was $90, which I sent right in. 2 weeks later, I get this letter from Michigan State, State of Michigan, whatever, and saying I should go to this class. I think this other gentleman had just caught the end of that, but now I did not go to the class, so therefore, is my insurance going to go up?
I can't tell you for sure whether your insurance is going to go up, but if you had taken that class, the points would have been removed from your record. So because you didn't take the class, the points stay on your record. I don't know if your insurance company will pick that up or not.
See, I am working, and so therefore I did not take the time off, even though they had a Saturday class, but I could not get to it, and that was $90 as well. But I got 2 points, and I'm going, boy, that police officer did not do me any favors, really. But, of course, I knew I was in the wrong. You know, he caught me on radar. And you can't fight a ticket, which, is just whatever. But I'm thinking, wow, he was, on a speeding ticket, it's really a tough situation. Of course, I'm not getting any younger, neither. And they told me once I get 70, my insurance is going to go sky high. Is that true, too? Do you know?
I do not know.
Okay.
No, that would be a question for your insurance agent, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that information. Thank you. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And time.
$500 raised will be matched. Donations may be sent to Del Croft Medical Benefit Fund, care of Huntington Bank, 545 East 8th Street, Holland, Michigan, 49423.
And we're going to take a quick look at the weather here. The local area weather brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant, now featuring caramel apple French toast sticks. And the weather, it's going to be partly cloudy and windy today with a high of 44, cloudy tonight with a low of 40, and tomorrow clouds giving way to sunshine and a high of 47 degrees. And right now we're at 42 degrees here in the Tulip City. And we're here with the magistrate this morning, and if you have a question, takes a lot of cases about traffic, so you might have a question on that. 395-1450 is the number. And do you keep busy entirely on traffic, or do you hear other lawbreakers as well?
Well, we do other types of cases, small claims cases, for example. Those are civil cases. And then in Michigan, the jurisdictional limit for a small claims case was increased a short while ago, a year or two, and the maximum amount that you can sue for in small claims is now $5,000. So it went from $3,000 to $5,000.
Yeah.
And the small claims is just a division of the district court. In small claims court, you cannot be represented by an attorney, and you cannot have a jury trial. So if you agree to give up those two rights, then you may have the case heard in small claims court. The small claims court is a quicker process. And it's a little bit easier for those who are not used to going to court to navigate their way through the court system.
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much you and the judge, or the magistrate.
Yeah, it's the litigants and the magistrate, or the judge. But most of the small claims cases will start out with me as the magistrate.
All right. 395-1450 here this morning. I have thought somebody might have some questions about traffic and what is right and what is not right. I haven't had any yet. And he's got a book right here that will explain it.
Let me, the last caller that called in, she mentioned, I see we have another call. But
let's wait till after this call. Good morning, you're on with the magistrate.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering, isn't there a state law about driving in a passing lane on a two-lane four-lane highway, and I see police officers doing that too when there's no cars in the driving lane. Is that or is not a law? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Driving in the passing lane on a four-lane highway.
You are supposed to drive in the right-hand lane on a four-lane or two-lane road with travel in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Unless there's continuous traffic in both lanes, then you're allowed to travel in both lanes. I understand that a lot of people don't abide by that. In Holland, for example, Butternut Avenue is a two-lane road in each direction, and there's continuous traffic in both lanes all the time. But it's the same as on a limited-access highway or the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
So he is correct, but a lot of people don't abide by that.
All right. You were starting a...
Yeah, the lady that called in and said she did not take the basic driver improvement course, it's interesting because we were given statistics at a conference recently, and if my memory serves me right, around 20 to 25% of people that get the basic driver improvement course information actually take the course. I would have thought that figure would have been higher, according to the Secretary of State's office. That was a target number that they had, and so they feel that the program is progressing the way they thought it would. If you receive points for a violation and you do not take the course and you receive notice, if you then get some more points and you're still eligible for the course, they'll give you notice again. They'll send you notice again, and you can take it at that point. So just because you didn't take it the first time doesn't mean you can take it, that you'll never have an opportunity to take it again, because if you qualify for it, then you will have an opportunity at a later date to do it. So
one of the complaints that I frequently hear is that somebody has an accident, they do not have a driver's license. They probably didn't have a driver's license because they lost it at one point. How are you going to handle that?
Well, they would be charged with driving with a license that was suspended, revoked, or denied, or driving without a valid operating license. So it's a misdemeanor charge. And they would be That's a criminal offense, and then they have to come in and be arraigned on the charge. If they plead guilty, the court assesses fines and costs, and there's a jail alternative for that also, or a possibility of jail. So, and they're issued quite frequently. We see a lot of cases come in where people are driving with a suspended license. A lot of times they're suspended because they have driver responsibility fees that they can't afford to pay. They have outstanding tickets that they can't afford to pay, and your license will suspend for certain violations if you don't pay the traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And so it boils down to an economic issue for some people. And then the state also suspends your license for a mandatory period if you're caught driving with a suspended license. I think it's a 30-day period. But
I haven't heard any noise from the legislature about doing something about those high fees. Have you?
The driver responsibility fees?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have taken some of the violations out of that. Out of the assessment for driver responsibility fees. So, for example, a no proof of insurance used to have a driver responsibility fee. It no longer has a driver responsibility fee. So there are some violations that the Secretary of State's office or the state of Michigan has taken out of the kind of offense that would require or mandate a driver responsibility fee. And some of those fees are very expensive.
Yes, they are.
For example, operating while intoxicated, it's $1,000 a year for 2 years.
That's pretty much.
But even no proof of insurance was $200 a year for 2 years, so a total of $400 in driver responsibility.
Wow.
But that has been removed.
Okay. Got a call here, I believe. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, good morning. I have a question. He said he handles small claims court. But anyway, in general, what I did, I co-signed for my grandson. And he blew his car up, okay? So now we owe $6,000 on this car. Can I take him to small claims court and make him pay for it, even though I co-signed, but his name is on it also?
Yes, you can.
So that would be the next step I should do then, really.
If you feel that he owes you for the car, if you just co-signed for him, he's the person that's ultimately responsible. Has the company that you borrowed the money from come after you or after him?
Not yet. This just happened last week, and I just called, you know, the shop, and they said, yeah, he fried the engine. So what I'm doing, I called him, but see, the sad thing of it is, on the payment book, it's just my name, not his. But at the where we bought it from the dealership, it has both our names on it. So that's why I'm just wondering, am I really liable for this now?
Yes, you would be liable for it. Now, if the payments continue, then... You know, if the person you co-signed for is going to continue making payments, then there really is no issue. You don't have a basis to go after him unless he defaults and you're obligated to pay.
See, he's not paying at all. I mean, he paid the first couple payments, but he's always been late. So, of course, Grandma just covered it, but now he got fired from his job and he moved, you know, he moved away. So I'm going, boy.
Well, and that's why the lending institution requires... You know, that's why they required a co-signer, so that they have more than one person obligated to pay in case one of them doesn't pay. So you are ultimately responsible for that, but if you feel that he owes you for that because you were a co-signer, you certainly have the right to proceed with a small claims action against him.
And what would I do, come down to the courthouse and get papers, and then he would have to show up, or how does that work?
We have a small claims clerk. She's at all our locations. They're all very good, but they will give you a packet of information. There's a small claims affidavit and claim that you would fill out and file, and then it would be served on the person named as a defendant, the person that you're asking the court to enter a judgment against.
And, of course, that would cost me money, right?
Well, there's a filing fee, and there's a fee to serve it. But those, if you prevail at the hearing, then the court costs get added into the judgment. And then if you collect the judgment, you collect the court costs with it. So you would be reimbursed from the defendant.
So here's – I'm so sorry to cut you off.
That's okay.
But here's my dilemma, okay? My grandson, like I said, he's supposed to pay child support, too. Well, if he's not working – You know, of course, his dad's got his own business, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so if his dad pays him undercover, cash, how in the world is it going to even do me any good to try collect?
Well, sometimes getting a judgment is the easiest thing to do. Collecting the judgment is not always that easy. The court doesn't collect the judgment for you. What we do is we give you the ability to collect a judgment, so you have to collect it through the court system. But there are several things you can do. You can garnish wages. You can garnish bank accounts.
Yeah, but if he's not working, how can you do that?
Well,
and if he gets paid cash?
Yeah, there are some people that make themselves uncollectible. I understand.
Right.
But if you get a judgment, that judgment in small claims court is good for 6 years. You can renew the judgment. You have to take the steps to renew it before the 6 years expires. But that judgment would be there for a while, and it does go on a credit report. Credit reporting agencies pick this information up, so you never know if at some point it would benefit you to get the judgment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing would be is that there is a record of her efforts to collect.
That's correct.
I would think.
Yeah. And you're not going to collect it if you don't get the judgment most of the time or
right.
Many times. So, you know, the first step is to file a claim and to go ahead and get a judgment, and then you have to take the steps to collect the judgment.
And he probably won't come to Grandma's house for a while.
Probably not. And judgments are not always easy to collect.
Right, know? Right.
And that's a frustrating thing for plaintiffs. It really is.
Looks like we're out of time. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.